Peter said, I sound like Kermit the Frog. You have to bear with my voice this morning, please. I feel perfectly fine. A couple days ago, the cold broke, but thank you guys for praying for me. I just sound, we'll see how long my voice can hold out here, but Will's helping me out here with the microphone. He's going to crank her up a little bit. Thank you guys so much for praying for me. I did not want to miss the Christmas Eve service. I got to see a lot of the practices and all the work the choir was doing, and I got to see a lot of it before. And they did a little bit at Ranville with the kids, but I didn't get to see when it all came together. But everybody shared a lot of videos. Everybody was recording, so I was at home crying and watching. You know, it doesn't take much for me to get crying, but thank you guys for praying for me. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. I thought we would take a little break from our monthly run in 1 Peter. Starting to think about the new year a little bit, and I see Kathy has a note for us in the bulletin there to take notes. The title of the sermon is, Do You Have Time for the Lord? Do you have time for the Lord? Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 15 here in just a little bit. But I remember a number of years ago, I read an article. This was actually it's pretty old. It was in the 90s this was written, and I read this probably 2010, 2012. It was an article in Time magazine. It was called How America Has Run Out of Time, and it's actually a really good article. But here's the beginning of the article. Here's how it starts out. It says, if you have a moment to read this story with your feet up, free from interruptions, at your leisure, put it down. It's not for you. But if, like almost everyone else in America, you're trying to do something else at the same time, if you're stuck in traffic, if you're waiting in an airport lounge, watching the news, if you're stirring the soup, shining your shoes, drying your hair, read on, or hire someone to read it for you and give you a report. It's a good article, and if you can find time to read it, read this thing. It's pretty interesting. But isn't it true that we are busy people? Right? In America especially, not so much up here in the UP. It's a little slower pace up here. But even up here, we can get very, very busy. If you don't believe me, even in our small town here in Norway, when you leave church, pull up to the light, and if it's red, sit there. And when it turns green, wait 20 seconds. Just sit there. Probably wouldn't take that long. It would take maybe 10 seconds, right? The whole world's going to be honking, right? Everybody's in a hurry. I can't imagine living in California or New York, Chicago. We drive through those, and I want to do everything I can to stay away from those bigger cities. But even up here, people are in a hurry. We have a lot that we're doing. We're very, very busy people. Many things pulling at our time. And you guessed it this morning. The sermon is about time as we start thinking about the new year. We have a lot of things that we do. We have our jobs. We have our cell phones. We have social media. I put some of these down here. We have our text messages. We have emails. We have our Facebooks. We have our Twitters. Appointments that we have to go to. TV shows. We have our families. We have our friends. We have choirs. We have choir practices. We have family get-togethers. Get-togethers with our friends. We have classes. We attend school. We do all of these things. We have recitals. Multiple various different kinds of games that we go to and watch on TV. Practices. And we could go on and on and on. You could put in your own in there, right? There's so many things that we spend our time on. And many of these things are good things. Many of these things we have to do, right? Our chores, our work, things that we have to do. Many of these things are good things. But with all of these things that we do, do we have time for the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what I want us to think about this morning. With all these things, really, this question right here, how much time will you have for the Lord in 2026? Brothers and sisters, this morning, I want us to think about that question. How much time will you have for the Lord Jesus Christ in 2026? The Bible has a lot to say about the value of time. Time is precious, said Jonathan Edwards. He wrote a lot about the preciousness of time. Today we're going to look at some verses on time, but particularly in Ephesians 5. Why don't we read our passage this morning? Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Here is God's word to us today. God's word says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use, and there's our word, making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is where we're going to set up shop right here. This is going to be our home text. We're going to look at a lot of verses on time. So if you're taking notes this morning, this is a great sermon to take notes on. We're going to look at some other verses here. You might not be able to flip with me to all of these, but if you'd like to write them down, I found some great verses. The Lord brought some good verses to me during this sermon. But I mentioned Jonathan Edwards, and I did some reading this past week on Jonathan Edwards. Wow. Very, very intelligent man. What a great servant of the Lord. I know, Ed, you're familiar with Jonathan Edwards. He's one of the Puritan preachers from the 1700s, and he had an amazing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He took his relationship with the Lord very, very seriously. He wrote a lot about what he called the preciousness of time. In his famous 70 resolutions, he came up with his 70 resolutions, resolved, he would say, to do this, bang, bang, bang. He would make these resolutions, and he would do his best to stick to these resolutions. As we think about a new year, that's a word that we often use, right? Resolutions. But here's one that he said in matter of time. Jonathan Edwards wrote, resolved, he says, never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way that I can. In a lot of his writings, he would write that way. You are either losing time, Christians, we're either losing some of this time, or we're improving time. You're improving the time that you're here. And it's just a great, look up Jonathan Edwards on time, and you're going to find a lot of things that he's written. But First Baptist Church of Norway, brothers and sisters in the Lord, in 2026, let's make a commitment, let's make a resolution, just like Jonathan Edwards, to make this the best year for the Lord Jesus Christ. In our own personal walks with Him personally and as a body of believers corporately together, let's make this the best year for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's make that commitment. Let's make that resolution right here before we even start the year. This is going to be the best year for the Lord Jesus Christ in my own personal walk and with my brothers and sisters here at church. Amen. Christians, we need to be very, very careful how we spend our time. Because we don't get a second go around. God has given us this precious thing called time. And we are not going to get another shot at this. This is it. When we leave this world, time will be no more, and we will step into eternity, and time will be gone. So we need to be very careful how we spend our time in the midst of all of these things that we have to do. I came across this advertisement for this watch. You can buy it. It's a digital watch. And this came out a while ago, but it's called the ticker watch. Has anybody ever heard of this watch? It's called the ticker watch. And this is a very interesting watch. This watch calculates how much time you have left to live. I found it kind of interesting. The top row, the digital watch, it shows you the remaining years, the months, all the way down to the days. The second row counts down the hours, the minutes, and the seconds. And then on the bottom row, it shows you the local time. But it asks you in the beginning, you type in all your information, your medical history, and it calculates all of that. And this watch will figure out the countdown begins. You hit start and the countdown begins. You can see how many years on average. They take this average. It's called the ticker watch. An interesting name, right? The inventor claims it will help people make the most of the time that they have left. You can go right now online and buy it. The watch comes in black. It costs $87.99 plus shipping and tax. On a website called Zavvy. I thought it was interesting, though. But we know, the fact is, none of us really know when we're going to die. But we do know we're going to die. It's just a matter of time. But isn't it true, especially when we're young, we think we have all kinds of time. Right, Bill? When we were young, we're like, I'm going to be a kid forever, right? And then all of a sudden the clock is ticking. And we're getting older. But today, thousands of people, my friends, and we all know this. We know these things. But today, thousands of people across the world are making plans for tomorrow. Thousands of people across the world are making plans for this summer coming up this spring. We can't wait to do all of these things in the summer, whatever it is. And many of these folks, thousands of these people won't even be here tomorrow. On average, 150,000 people or more die every single day, and many of these people are making plans for tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, time is short. This life is very, very short. We're not promised another day. And that's why James wrote in James 4, verse 14, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So our first point this morning, I want us to consider, is we're going to look at three timeless reminders this morning. How can we make 2026 the best year for the Lord? Maybe these three timeless reminders, I call them here, out of our verses can help us. Number one, our time on earth is very, very limited. Those are Jesus' half-brother James. Those are his words from James. He's telling us our life is like a vapor that appears for a little while. Up here in the UP, you go outside in the cool air. You see your breath, it goes in the air. And James says, just like that, our life is gone. Our first reminder, our time on earth is short. In verse 15, God's word says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Christians, let's be careful with our time. Time is precious. Time is fleeting. Time is going by fast. It seems like I was just in high school with Ed. Right? And all of a sudden, whoa, I have a grandbaby over here. This is crazy. Time is flying. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. My friends, we're not guaranteed another moment. Psalm 90 was a great verse that I came across in my studies. Moses, did you know that Moses had some prayers in the Psalms? We often think of David writing the Psalms, right? His prayers. And a lot of writings is from David. But Moses has some prayers. In Psalm 90, my friends, listen to this. To this prayer. He says, teach us, this is Moses praying to God, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Aren't those great words? Lord, teach us to number our days. And he's not saying, should we be thinking about death all the time? He's saying, no, but every moment is valuable. Lord, teach us to number our days. Give us a heart of wisdom. That's what he's saying. It's very similar to verse 15. We see that word wisdom. Look carefully, Paul says in our text, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. We need to be wise with our time, because time is limited. Let us not forget that this morning. Time on earth is limited. Number two here, a second timeless reminder for us to remember for 2026. Christians, let's make the most of every opportunity. From verse 16, let's make the most of every opportunity. Paul tells us, we must, he says, make the best use of the time. Why? Then he answers it. Very interesting reason. Why should we make the most use of our time, the best use of our time? He says, because the days are evil. And I spent some time thinking about that. And Ed kind of alluded to it this morning on Revelation, how Satan is a robber and a thief. Those are our Lord's words. In John 10:10, Jesus said that Satan is a robber and a thief. The days are evil, Paul says in Ephesians 5 here. And you know, I think one of the greatest things that the enemy likes to do, what he likes to steal, is our time. If he can get us distracted, even with good things, he will rob our time. How much time can I spend scrolling on social media? My thumb is getting a workout, but my mind is going numb. Brothers and sisters, how much time do we spend on things that are temporal? In 2026, Christians, let's make this the best year for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's grab a hold of every precious second that we can. And when we get distracted, let's just get right back on track for the Lord Jesus Christ. My new saying lately, and pastors heard it, I know Dave and Julia has. My new saying, Mark has, onward and upward. That's my saying for the year. Onward and upward. Brothers and sisters, we're going onward and we're going upward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to let the enemy distract us with all these gadgets, trinkets, even some of the good things. But maybe this year you can start thinking about some things that you would like to eliminate. Time wasters. They're innumerable in the United States. I don't know how it is in other countries. I've never left the United States, but we have a lot of them here, I know that, right? What are these things that are distracting us? I truly believe that one of the most valuable things the enemy uses is distractions. I'm sure all of us have been to the Mackinac Bridge, and I'm certain that none of us have crossed the bridge as many times as Ed at the Mackinac State. But brothers and sisters, can you imagine the next time you go across the mighty Mack, you see this crazy man on the bridge building a house. we would say, what is he doing, right? What is a bridge for? A bridge is a temporal thing, right? It's a temporary thing. It's to get us Hoopers down to Lower Michigan, right? And then they come up here. We try to keep them down there, but it's a temporal thing, right? But the bridge is just to get us to the other side. Brothers and sisters, this world is not our home. We are just passing through, and we need these reminders. I need these reminders all the time. Because I don't know if you're anything like me. I can get focused on the here and now. I enjoy this life. I'm thankful for the life that God's given me and my family and my friends, seeing all of you guys, and we should be. We love it, right? But isn't it very easy for us to forget about eternal things? Because we're not there yet. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I need these reminders every day. There's nothing I'm saying here that's earth-shaking. You've heard all this before, but I need it every single day. Let's not build our home while we're here. Let's place value on eternal things. Let's spend time in eternity. Let's make the most of every opportunity. Take it from a man who tried it all. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:14, this guy tried it all. He's seen it all. He had all the money, all the wealth. He had everything this world had to offer. And here's what he says at the end. He says, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of it is meaningless. It's a chasing after the wind. Brothers and sisters, are you done with the rat race? Solomon says it's just like chasing the wind. You're not going to get it. These things are fleeting. These things are temporal. John in the New Testament, 1 John 2:15, he says it very simply. I like the way John puts it. Do not love the world or the things of the world. I can remember that one. Do not love the world, he says, or the things of the world. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, he puts it like this. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not to the things that are seen. And boy, I need this one. We look not to the things that are seen, but we look to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, Paul says. But the things that are unseen are eternal. They last forever. Friends, God's word is telling us this morning to get focused on our time. So easy to waste time. Another day goes by, and we're one step closer to eternity. And we still haven't witnessed to our neighbors. Our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, let's think about eternal things. At Boss Snowplow, and Dave and Sarah, you guys are going to be familiar with this, but they do these things, they're called RI events, and it's an acronym, but it stands for Rapid Improvement Events. The company started these a number of years ago. I think they do them probably at Systems too. Well, we usually don't care for them because what happens is that the company goes into a cell, a work cell. It could be where we build the plows, or it could be where we build another part of the plow, and welding and assembly. They even go into the offices, and they'll take people from different areas of the plant, of the company, and they'll bring in a fresh set of eyes into an area where they don't normally work. And for 1 week, they'll do these rapid improvement events. And what they do is they look for wasted time. Wasted space. Where are we losing production? Do we really need 4 barrels of wire in this cell? Do we really need to travel? Do we really need to carry the parts from over here all the way over there? They even measure on how many times people take these trips. They're like, you traveled 2 miles. You know how much time you wasted. They're called rapid improvement events. And by the end of the week, they reduce it all down. They paint. They come in. They clean it all out. By the end of the week, the cell, the welding cell, looks totally different. Running way more efficient. They're actually producing more, and we're like, oh, you're just trying to get more work out of us. We often don't like the rapid improvement events, but they work. They eliminate waste. Brothers and sisters, maybe it's time for us to do a rapid improvement event, a spiritual rapid improvement event on our lives. What are some things that we need to eliminate? What are some things that we know have to go in order for us to grow, in order for us to be more spiritually minded, in order for us to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ? Just like a vehicle, after you keep running it and running it, it's going to need a tune-up after a while. Maybe today we're going to take a spiritual inventory of our hearts and say, boy, I've really gotten off track. We often do this at the start of a new year, don't we? A New Year's resolution. May our resolution for this year be that we are going to be more for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to do more for Him, and we're going to eliminate some of these time wasters. What are some things that are distracting you? Number two there, we want to make the most of every opportunity. Our last reminder this morning. Number three, let's continue to seek the Lord And I hear Pastor Dave say this one all the time, because this is what, since I've been working with the elders here at First, this is what we're doing. We're seeking the Lord's will. Point number three, let's continue to seek and to understand the Lord's will. Let's not make decisions on our own. Let's seek the Lord's will. What does the Lord want me to do in our personal relationships, not just as elders leading the church, but in our personal walks with the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, what do you want me to do? We often live our lives, we wake up, we do what we want, we're doing our things, but let's continue to seek and understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 17 is so clear. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. These are great words, great simple words for us to remember this morning. Have you ever asked yourself, what is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? I think every Christian has asked that at one point or another. What does God want me to do? And I've talked to some Christians, they say, well, I just don't know what God's will is. Like it's just some mystical thing that he's going to have to show me with some divine angel, or I don't know God's will. But children, do you know what your parents expect of you? Most of the kids are downstairs. Students, do you know what your teachers expect of you? Employees at work, at boss, we know every morning meeting we have, we know what's expected of us every day. Brothers and sisters, then we should know exactly what God wants us to do. What God expects of us. John MacArthur has written a lot on God's will. And here's one thing he said in his commentary on Ephesians. John MacArthur said, God does not promise to show us his will through visions, strange coincidences, or miracles. Nor does he play a divine guessing game with us, seeing if we can somehow stumble onto his will. Like a small child finds an egg at an Easter egg hunt. God's deepest desire for all of his children is that they know and obey his will. And he gives us every possible help, both to know and to obey his will. And I think John MacArthur makes a good point there. God does not play this divine mystical game showing his will, like it's this crazy mystery. And there are times, I do believe, when we don't understand God's will sometimes. We have to seek him in prayer. Like this decision with the merge. That's what all of the elders have been saying. Let's seek the Lord on this. Let's pray about this. That's seeking after God's will. But aren't you thankful when God does make his will very clear to you? You're like, oh, now we know. Okay, the Lord shows us. But brothers and sisters, we know God's will, don't we? God's word. This is God's will. Amen. Right? This is the only book that he's written to us. God's word is God's will. So if you want to know what God wants you to do, my friends, it's in the book. Go to him in prayer. Spend time with him. His first and primary will in the scriptures is very clear. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 that this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. What does God desire? He says, God desires that all people be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that God's primary will, his first will, for mankind is to be saved. Praise God for that, right? That's why we're all here today. He saved us. Amen. But secondly, we experience God's will, brothers and sisters, when we grow in the Lord. You ever talk to an older Christian who has spent a lot of time with God, a lot of time in God's word? You can tell just the way they live that they handle things differently. They're a little bit calmer. They just seek God differently than a newer believer sometimes. When I was a new believer, I remember thinking, I've got to figure all this out. And I just remember, I'm so thankful for people who have walked with the Lord, who've gone before us, that we can go to. But we learn God's will, brothers and sisters, through the process of sanctification when we grow. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God. He says, your sanctification. It's that clear. Growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants us to be saved, and God wants us to grow. Those are that's his primary will for us. We grow by spending time in his word. Brothers and sisters, I have a question for us. This year, in 2026, how much time are you going to spend with the Lord? How much time are you going to spend with him in prayer? How much time in his word? How much time seeking his will? 365 days are coming at us. It's 8,760 hours in this new year. How many of those hours are we going to spend seeking the Lord? He must be our top priority in our life. John the Baptist, some of his, my favorite words that John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, verse 30, John the Baptist said, he, referring to Jesus, he must become greater, I must become less. Don't you love those words? Brothers and sisters, is that happening in your life? John the Baptist, you see him come on the scene, they thought, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? And he says, no, I'm just a forerunner. I'm paving the way for Christ to come. And then he shares these words, he must become greater, I must become less. And I know all of us would love to say those words. He must become greater in my life. Is Jesus becoming greater in your life? You say, I don't really know. You know, there's a way to tell. Brothers and sisters, what do we spend our time on? Are the things that you're doing, is it for you? Is it your selfish desires, your selfish ambitions? That's how we can tell if Jesus is becoming greater and we're becoming less. Are you becoming less and Jesus becoming greater? These are questions, by the way, I've been asking myself in the new year. These are things that I've been working on in my life. Is Jesus Christ becoming greater to me than that idol, than that desire in my heart that I think about all the time and I spend all my time on? Jesus is greater than that distraction, my friends. He's much greater. How much time are you going to spend with him this year? John Wesley said, the Christian needs to begin and end each day with the Lord. I think there's a good place to start. What is your game plan for 2026, brothers and sisters? Your personal growth game plan for 2026. How are you going to get closer to the Lord this year? What is your game plan? That's what I've been asking myself. Coming up with some priorities, putting some things in order. Evangelism, the Great Commission, Bible study, prayer. What are some things that you can do to get more organized and get more on fire for the Lord? What is your personal game plan? Secondly here, we need to spend time with God. Number one, that's the primary goal. And I put in my notes here, secondly, we need to spend time with our family, right? We have so many priorities. We have so many things we have to do. So many things, a million and one things to do, and they're all claiming to be that number one priority, right? At any moment in time, I could have 10 things that I feel like I need to do. But are they really that important? How many things do we have in our lives that are all claiming to be that priority? God must come first. We have our families. Husbands, right in this chapter right here, I've been reading through Ephesians 5. We're going to get back to 1 Peter. I love 1 Peter. But right here, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. These are priorities. Husbands must love our wives. This is a sacrificial love. Ephesians 5:33, Paul talks to the husbands and the wives. However, each of you, men, you must love your wife as he loves himself, and wives must respect their husbands. I mean, it's all in here. How we raise our kids. We have to spend time with our children. Don't the kids in this church bring you such great joy? Mm-hmm. Parents, can I encourage you this morning? Spend time with those babies. They are going to be gone in the blink of an eye. So many things pulling at our time. The Lord must be first. Men, we must love our wives as Christ loved the church. Women, you have your role to respect your husband and to submit to him. It's all in God's word. We are to raise our kids. You've been charged, parents, to raise your kids in the Lord. So many things. I love what the Apostle John wrote in 3 John 1:4. Parents, we love this verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Those kids bring us such great joy. Let's pray for the kids of this church, all the children. They bring us such great joy. We can't save them, but we should do everything we can to lead them to Jesus Christ. The parents, you're accountable for this. Church, we are. Let's do everything we can to raise these kids up in the Lord. The enemy just loves to take the kids. And we're going to say no. We're going to say no. Let's do everything we can in leading our kids to Christ. What is your game plan, Christians? What is your game plan for this year? Let's make a commitment, a resolution this year to be, this is the best year for the Lord Jesus Christ. How? By remembering these timeless reminders. By remembering that our time on this earth is limited. Number one, our time is short. Let us remember that daily. Time is short. We don't have a lot of time. I'll put it off till tomorrow. No. Time is short. By remembering to make the most of every opportunity. And number three, by remembering to continually seek the Lord's will. I wanted to end the message this morning. My voice is done. I wanted to read two stanzas from a poem from a great servant of the Lord, a man by the name of C.T. Studd. He was an English missionary many years ago to China. But I really love these words from his poem that he wrote. He says, Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn. Aren't those great words? Living for thee and thee alone. Bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life. Christians, there's only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Yes, only one life. Yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. And only what has been done for Christ will last. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this life is short. Let's go onward and upward for the Lord. 2026. Let's pray. Our gracious Father,